Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Good morning. I'm Jane Pauley, and this is Sunday Morning. The end of another year is upon us, a time for looking back with pride at our accomplishments, for reminding ourselves of the best things we saw and did and celebrated in 2025. Perhaps most of all, a time for remembering. We lost some truly remarkable people this past year. Folks who, in their own special way, had a profound impact on our world. As is our year-end tradition, with Lee Cowan, we'll bid them hail and farewell.
You said that on television?
From the names we all knew.
I would always fail because they would always say to me, "You're too kooky."
Dance to the music!
To those whose music we all loved.
If I had wings, no one would ask me, should I fly?
Ahead, a Sunday morning tradition, a tribute to some of the souls
Tatanka
who got their wings this past year.
If there's a heaven, I don't want to go there unless my stool is waiting for me.
Though it might not always feel that way, there was no shortage of good news to go around this past year. David Pogue this morning delivers his traditional year-end edition of Sunny Side Up.
Good morning. Our top story, there actually was some good news this year.
It's really working. Farmers are returning. It's not just the birds.
It's always there and ready to help 24/7. So I think it has been a real advance in medicine.
Compostable plastic. They don't leave microplastics in our soils.
The good news you may have missed in 2025, coming up on Sunday Morning.
Also ahead this morning.
Next year we're going to be so different.
Luke Burbank is making a list and checking it twice of New Year's resolutions he vows to keep unbroken in 2026.
The ball is 12,350 pounds.
Mo Rocca heads to Times Square to explore the history of what's probably the world's most famous New Year's tradition.
How's it taste?
Not bad.
Plus, a New Year's visit with contributor Josh Seftel and his mom, Pat. And more on this final Sunday morning of the year, December 28th, 2025. We'll be right back. If what seems to be a steady drumbeat of mostly bad news has you down, David Pogue has just the antidote.
Good morning, and this is the good news of the year. Yeah, I know, I've heard all the jokes. The good news in 2025, this is going to be a really short broadcast. But that's only because the good news got drowned out by all the bad news. We begin today with plastics. Plastic is made of petroleum, and when we throw it away, it breaks down into tiny particles that wind up in our bodies, our blood, and our brains. So where's the good news? David Pogue reports.
This bag, this fork, this cup, this shrink wrap may look like ordinary plastic, but this stuff is made from sugar cane, and it's completely biodegradable.
So this is fine with you when people dump these plastic bags in here?
We actually like it. It's compostable plastic. And the key is that they break down.
Yeah.
And they don't leave microplastics in our soils.
At Black Earth Compost near Boston, run by Andrew Brousseau, these better plastics break down along with household food scraps to become valuable compost for farms and gardens.
This is the finished product.
Black gold.
And that's safe? There's no microplastics in our brain?
No, that's the big advantage.
Max Seneschal is an executive at CJ Biomaterials in Woburn, Massachusetts, one of several companies now making completely compostable plastics.
The good news now in 25 is that we've reached a point where we can produce these at large scale. It gives you all the functionality without the guilt.
Thank you, David. If we can all agree on anything, it's that we can't agree on anything.
We certainly have gotten to a place where disagreement is mostly just corrosive. We need to find a way to do it better.
Eli Finkel may have found it. He co-created the Center for Enlightened Disagreement at Northwestern University. So, Professor, you run exercises that teach students how to disagree?
Yes, exactly right. In fact, the first program involved the use of improv techniques. For example, imagine that your job is to rant for one full minute about something that makes you very, very angry. My job is to take that information and present to everybody what it is that you value. Not why you're angry, not what you're opposed to, but what is underneath the anger that you feel.
And does it work?
I feel very hopeful. And the students are really leaning in to this idea that to be a productive member of a multicultural society, we need to be able at least to listen and understand what the people who disagree with us believe.
Is there any way this technique could be brought to a broader segment of the population?
This is the goal. If we can achieve here what it looks like we're achieving, I think it won't take us long before we're able to spread this not only to other institutions of higher education, but to high schools and perhaps even beyond.
Well, on behalf of America, thank you for what you're doing.
It is absolutely my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Everyone knows that birds fly south for the winter and back again in the spring, but these are not nonstop flights.
They need places to stop and rest and refuel on their long journeys.
According to the Nature Conservancy's Katie Riley, California has lost at least 90% of the lakes and marshes that were once layover spots, thanks to urban growth, modern agriculture, and climate change. Her team's radical idea? Pay farmers to flood their fallow fields during migration times, creating pop-up wetlands.
Some birds, like the sandhill cranes we're seeing out here today, use those flooded fields actually to sleep. Much smaller birds, they need flooded fields to be able to feed and access little bugs in the field.
So if you weren't paying farmers to flood their fields here, what would happen to those birds that are trying to migrate?
They would not survive. We would see populations go down. I don't
know yet. Ben Leacox is the general manager of Zuckerman Family Farms in Lodi, California. The birds benefit from this.
Correct.
The farmers are benefiting from this.
Correct. This program may be the difference between me being in the black or the red this year.
Wow. So who loses in this transaction?
This is a win-win transaction for everybody.
This year, the farmers in the Bird Returns program are offering about 50,000 acres of bird rest stops.
One thing I'd like people to take away. Sorry, there's a lot of geese taking off over there.
You're welcome!
Come back. Make sure to return.
See you next year.
You might not expect to find artificial intelligence on a good news show, but in healthcare, AI is bringing enormous advances in predicting disease, discovering new drugs, and especially diagnosing illnesses.
It's pretty darn good.
Robert Wachter is the chair of the Department of Medicine at the University of California, San Francisco, and the author of an upcoming book about AI in medicine. He gave me a demo.
Hi, GPT. I'm a physician. I have a 28-year-old patient. She's lost a bunch of weight in the last 6 weeks. She's kind of tremulous. She's shaking. She's pretty sweaty, and her stools are loose. Can you give me a sense of what might be going on?
Based on those symptoms, it sounds like she could be dealing with something like hyperthyroidism. Of course, you'd want to confirm that with some thyroid function tests.
Great. Thanks so much.
But we know that regular AI sometimes just makes stuff up, wrong answers. Isn't that a risk?
It can be. It is something we worry about, and it's why, at least for now, you don't want this thing diagnosing by itself. And we talk about the doctor in the loop. It's getting better every year, and I think this was the year that we turned a corner where this is going to be something of a golden era in medicine over the next 5 or 10 years.
Thank you, Dr. Wachter. Very helpful.
All right. Take it easy. Thanks so much.
Well, I'm afraid that's all the time we have. We won't have time to mention how U.S. homicides dropped almost 20% this year, or how Paris cleaned up the Seine River so completely that people are now swimming in it for the first time in 100 years, or how a British charity cleared 300,000 landmines left over from a civil war in Sri Lanka, foot by foot. It took 16 years, but 280,000 people have now returned safely home. Or how four old dams on the Klamath River in California and Oregon had cut salmon off from their traditional spawning grounds for over 100 years. But once the old dams were removed last year, the salmon returned within days. Somehow, they remembered. Have a joyous new year, and remember, bad news breaks suddenly, but good news happens everywhere, all the time. Good morning, everyone.
Now here's a look back at the year that was.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
In January, Donald Trump was inaugurated as the 47th President of the United States.
Congratulations, Mr. President.
Becoming just the second person ever elected to non-consecutive terms.
He's in! Touchdown, Eagles!
In February, the Philadelphia Eagles won Super Bowl 59, defeating the Kansas City Chiefs 40-22 and denying them a third consecutive title. In March, the U.S. government deported nearly 280 migrants to a Salvadoran prison without hearings or trials, relying in part on a rarely used 18th century wartime law. A watchdog report later found the detainees had been subjected to torture and abuse. Pope Francis died in April, setting off a wave of mourning among the world's 1.4 billion Catholics. May brought the election of his successor, Chicago-born Cardinal Robert Prevost. He took the name Pope Leo XIV, becoming the first American to head the Catholic Church. In June, Minnesota state lawmaker Melissa Hortman and her husband Mark were shot and killed at their home in a politically motivated attack, one in a number of recent acts of political violence. July brought catastrophic floods to central Texas, killing at least 135, including 27 campers and counselors at Camp Mystic. In August, President Trump dispatched National Guard troops to Washington, D.C., a rare domestic deployment of the military that would meet with legal challenges. September saw the assassination of conservative activist Charlie Kirk at a campus event in Utah. Kirk's alleged killer has been charged with murder and has yet to enter a plea. Israel and Hamas reached a ceasefire agreement in October. And days later, Hamas released the remaining 20 living Israeli hostages. Since then, the ceasefire has been shaky, with each side accusing the other of violations. November brought the end of the longest government shutdown in American history, as well as off-year elections that saw Democrats sweep nearly every competitive race. December brought yet another tragic shooting when two terrorist gunmen opened fire on a Hanukkah celebration at Bondi Beach in Sydney, Australia, killing 15. In the days after, Australians gathered to honor the fallen. Now, contributor Josh Seftel gives us, and his mom, something to chew on.
Say hi to everybody.
Lately, my mom can't sleep. And she's searching for a solution.
I have friends that take marijuana. Like a brownie or gummy bear.
Would you ever want to try that?
How bad could a brownie be?
And for my mom, trying cannabis for the first time is kind of a big deal.
What do I do if I run out of it? What if it works? Where can I get more of it?
And it's not just because she's 87. It's because she's a former nurse and drug counselor who spent much of her adult life helping people overcome their addiction to drugs.
Have you ever taken drugs like that before?
No.
When my mom was growing up, many thought marijuana was dangerous.
It was considered terrible.
And would ruin your life.
This, I understand, could be attributed to the use of marijuana.
But starting in 2012,
recreational marijuana is now legal.
A wave of cannabis legalization spread throughout the country.
Legalize recreational
marijuana. And my mom's friend Sora started using it, part of an upward trend among seniors.
Do you think my mom should try it?
I do. She said, I'm having trouble sleeping. I felt guilty because I have no trouble sleeping. I sleep like a log.
So recently,
we
set out for the local dispensary.
It's right here, I think, these stairs. I could go up and check.
Oh my God, they're rusty.
It didn't look so good from the outside.
Here we go, to the drug place.
After a few minutes in a private room,
I'm on you.
My mom bought a few things.
Oh, look how beautiful these fish. Is that real?
It's a screen. What'd you buy?
Gummy bears. Who has the bag?
Put it in your purse.
Okay. I hope it works.
Grandma, did you get drugs?
I did.
Are you excited?
A little.
She bought peach-flavored gummies with a blend of cannabis and CBD.
Why did they make it so hard?
And besides keeping it safely away from children,
I can't get it open.
We advised her to start out with a very small amount.
What are you drinking now?
Ginger ale.
I thought you're not supposed to have ginger ale with it. No, I'm kidding. So when's it supposed to kick in?
90 minutes. How am I going to call somebody if I'm in trouble?
With your phone?
What if you're too high to text?
I'll scream. Good night, everybody.
And the next morning.
How do you feel?
I feel all right.
My mom felt nothing. So on the second night, she doubled the dose.
How's it taste?
Not bad.
And the next morning,
good morning.
It wasn't much different.
Did you get the munchies last night?
No.
And while my mom still didn't feel anything,
I can't tell if it's working or not.
Statistics show that of adults who use cannabis to help with sleep, 7 out of 10 have reported success, including my mom's friend, Sora.
Do you think my mom should keep trying?
I do think she should keep trying. I think she may be on the wrong dosage.
So where does all this leave my mom?
Hello?
Did you take a gummy last night?
Oh no, I gave them away because they don't work.
Wait, are you gonna try a different kind of gummy or no?
Maybe later, you know, yeah. I might. All right.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
And now another chapter in the history of these United States. I'm Mo Rocca. For millions of people, the year 2026 will begin once a crystal-covered ball, 12 and a half feet in diameter, makes its descent in New York City's Times Square.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1!
New York Times owner Adolf Ox organized the first New York City ball drop on December 31st, 1907. The original ball, this is a replica, was made by Jacob Starr, a Ukrainian immigrant metalworker. The event has taken place every year since, except in 1942 and 1943. In those 2 years, revelers welcomed the new year with a minute of silence. During the COVID pandemic in 2020, the New Year's ball still dropped in a nearly empty Times Square. The brand new ball is the biggest ever.
The ball is 12,350 pounds.
Michael Phillips, president of Jamestown, the company that's redeveloping One Times Square into a year-round destination.
This is the ninth ball since 1907.
Gave me a close-up look at the ball, covered in over 5,000 handcrafted circular Waterford crystal discs.
They're in three different sizes, three different puck sizes in round versus triangular, which was the old geometric dome patterns.
It's a self-contained light show with many special effects.
Why do you think the ball drop means so much to so many people?
It's something that really symbolizes releasing what was and looking forward to what's to come.
And in 2026, a bonus. The ball drops again on the eve of July 4th, in addition to New Year's.
From all of us at CBS Sunday Morning, Happy New Year. And yes, I wore this to my high school prom.
Resolved. Luke Burbank plans to be more realistic when it comes to his New Year's resolutions.
New Year's Day is approaching, and with it comes a convenient opportunity to reset. Sure, maybe we haven't exactly been the people we were trying to be this year, but next year we're going to be so different. We just need to make a few resolutions we can actually keep. So to that end, I say we forget hitting the gym or signing up for that foreign language app. Here are some actually doable New Year's resolutions that I am personally committing to for 2026. For one, I resolve to stop looking at my phone when other people are talking to me and then lying about it by saying I was looking up something related to the conversation. It's rude, and also, they can clearly see that I'm just playing Candy Crush, so it's not fooling anyone. I also resolve to start actually telling the self-checkout machine at the grocery store if the fruits and veggies I'm buying are organic or the cheap stuff. I'm not officially admitting to any crimes here on national TV, but let's just say I felt like if they're gonna make us also work there as customers, maybe we should get an employee discount. But all those little discounts really add up and could be a felony. And I know I wouldn't do well in jail, so this year I'm going straight, probably. I also resolved to stop hoarding New Yorker magazines. I've been getting a weekly home delivery of the New Yorker for the past 25 years. In that time, I've probably read one issue cover to cover. The rest of them, I still have them, piled up in every room of the house, lying to myself that maybe someday I will read that 2004 profile of a Hungarian playwright. I probably won't. This year, there is a strict one-in, one-out policy. I'm reading them or I'm recycling them, with all due respect to David Sedaris. And finally, I'm going to stop agreeing to plans I don't want to be part of on the secret hope the other person will cancel at the last minute. While this is the most powerful drug humans have discovered, someone canceling the plans that you were about to cancel, the game of chicken leading up to the plans in question is simply too stressful. I've only got this one precious life, and I refuse to spend it at a third cousin's gender reveal party. This year, if I want to do something, I'm saying yes. If I don't want to do something, I'm saying no, and I'm not feeling bad about it. If you need me, I'll be at home trying to get through the New Yorker.
It's a Sunday morning on CBS, looking back at 2025. And here again is Jane Pauley.
During this season of joy, our thoughts may turn bittersweet when we recall loved ones who've left us over the years. or even people we've never met, but whose lives touched our world in so many ways. To those we lost in 2025, our Lee Cowan helps us say hail and farewell.
Raindrops keep falling on my head.
It felt like those we lost this year were as numerous as raindrops.
How do you do, old sport? I'm Gatsby.
Luminaries like Robert Redford, who challenged Hollywood to do better, to think harder, to take risks.
Hello?
Mr. Bennett?
Yes?
This is Bob Woodward of the Washington Post. I'm sorry to bother you at home. I was wondering if we could confirm some information on one of your employees, Mr. Howard Hunt.
He was of Hollywood, but he preferred to live away from it.
If anybody ever asked me why you don't live in Beverly Hills, now I'll be able to tell them.
You don't have to say, you just have to just stand here and shoot this.
His Sundance Film Institute and Festival gave independent filmmakers a bit of sun at Sundance.
The smaller stories.
Yeah, the smaller stories, the more offbeat stories, the more controversial.
Beat you to the bottom.
He lived long enough to see fellow Oscar winner Gene Hackman pass away.
If I'd have started in the first 15, I could have won it.
No. You just weren't good enough, that's all.
Hackman shone just as brightly. He could be gentle.
I love you guys.
And powerful. And sometimes, a wink said it all.
You like baseball, do you, Anderson?
Yeah, I do. You know, it's the only time when a black man can wave a stick at a white man and not start a riot.
The real-life heroes from the civil rights movement are sadly getting more scarce every day. Sam Moore's Soul Man was meant to show pride and resilience. And there's one person who lived those values for 111 years, Viola Fletcher, the oldest witness to the Tulsa Race Massacre.
Well, I feel that it's got to be done now.
Then there was Charles Person, the youngest among the original famed Freedom Riders protest in 1961. Joseph McNeil took a stand by sitting at a whites-only Woolworth's lunch counter. Joanne Allen was among the first to endure the desegregation of schools all across the South. Bobby Kane was, too. He became the first black student to graduate under those conditions. A decade later, courage like that inspired the likes of Jesse Colin Young and the Youngbloods to record a song with a message of belonging.
Come on, people now, smile on your brother, everybody get together, try to love one.
It permeated the summer of love.
Dance to the music.
The late Sly Stone of Sly and the Family Stone got on board the inclusion train, too.
I am everyday people.
He certainly had an ear for the times. Dick Cheney, who had an ear for politics, started his career the same year that song came out. He went on to become the most influential vice president in history, especially in the wake of 9/11.
How'd that day change you personally? Not from a policy standpoint, but change you?
Well, it's been alleged by some of my friends that 9/11 did change Cheney, that when he was a Secretary of Defense in the first Bush administration, he was a warm, pleasant, lovable fellow. And he became more of a hard rock afterwards. And I think it's probably true.
He remained a staunch conservative until he voted for Democrat Kamala Harris, that is, back in 2024.
I, David Hackett Souter.
That's similar to Supreme Court Justice David Souter. Nominated by George H.W. Bush, he leaned more to the left in his later years. He left us at 85.
There's the same percentage of screwballs, lightweights, and boobs in Congress as in your hometown or mine of Cody, Wyoming.
Right in the middle was Senator Alan Simpson, who balanced his conservative views with more moderate stands, a plain-spoken cowboy from the plains of Wyoming, who got his wings at 93.
If I had wings, no one would ask me, should I fly?
Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary got his wings this year, too. The tenor helped bridge the gap between folk and pop. He was 86.
I can see clearly now the rain
Jimmy Cliff bridged another gap, helping make reggae mainstream. The former choir boy from Jamaica found some of his inspiration in the traditions of gospel music. Many rivers to cross. Pope Francis crossed that final river this year, a day after he blessed the faithful in St. Peter's Square on Easter Sunday. Whether you believe in heaven as a destination or not, there's no doubt the heavens are unending. Astronaut James Lovell never landed on the moon, but he saw it closer than most.
You can't live on what happened in the past. You have to think of what you can do in the future. That's what I've done.
Jim Lovell took to the skies for the last time at age 97.
Awesome, that word that means to inspire awe.
Back on Earth, astrophysicist Fred Espenek was chasing our galaxy with a telescope. He witnessed the moon blot out the sun 52 times. A sci-fi experience in real life. We lost others who imagined life beyond the stars in movie posters. Drew Struzan, for example, was the artist behind the theater posters for the Star Wars films and the Back to the Future trilogy. Renato Cassaro gave life to blockbusters like Rambo and Terminator 2. And then there was Joe Karoff. He was the artist who created the James Bond logo.
And you begin to see a gun.
We lost some who appeared in those classic Bond films. Tough guys like Bruce Glover, the assassin in Diamonds Are Forever, and Joe Don Baker, the arms dealer in The Living Daylights, and so many, many more.
Tatanka.
Tatanka.
Here. Tatanka.
You keep getting turned down for jobs under one name, and pretty soon that name gets a reputation for being unemployable, so you change your name.
I will proclaim for coming New Year fireworks. Mm-hmm. Also boat races.
Your soul is mine.
Are you gonna bark all day, little doggy? Or are you gonna bite?
Little baby, funny face. Is it hard for you?
Sentí todo mi dolor.
We lost Rebecca Del Rio from Mulholland Drive, the same year that we lost director David Lynch, who put her in that film.
People should not confuse characters in your movies with your state of mind.
Stories are stories. And like I say, you know, the artist doesn't have to suffer to show suffering.
Diane Ladd, a longtime Oscar nominee, offered plenty of suffering in Lynch's Wild at Heart.
I want you to know something, sweetheart. I've done something so bad.
Her daughter, Laura Dern, and the rest of her fans mourned her loss at 89. Sharing a spot on Hollywood's Walk of Fame, far from the beach, is the Beach Boys, Brian Wilson.
Oh, yeah. When we did the voices to the vibrations, I said to myself, this is going to be a number one record.
He was called the poet laureate of surf culture.
Catch a wave and you're sitting on top of the world.
But when it came to the poetry of baseball, there were few better than Bob Uecker.
Just a bit outside.
He was a ball player who became Mr. Baseball.
All right, maybe I wasn't the greatest player of all time.
A pioneer for his wit and self-deprecating humor.
What's your favorite Bob Uecker line?
Just a bit outside. That's where my wife put me a lot of times.
Nina Cusick was left outside of the men in marathoning. Until that is, she became the first woman to enter the New York City Marathon and the first official female winner of the Boston Marathon. In figure skating, Dick Button was the first to land a double axel and the first American to bring home gold in Olympic figure skating twice. He was elegant and fierce, much the way George Foreman was in the boxing ring. He got a heavyweight world title first in his 20s and then, unbelievably, again in his 40s. Even if you never saw him box, you probably saw him cook. He described his George Foreman grill as a real knockout.
The new heavyweight champion!
Another ringmaster and master marketer was Hulk Hogan, the face of professional wrestling for decades. He was the ultimate showman. The Hulk died of cardiac arrest at age 71. There were this year so many unnatural deaths, especially it seems on college campuses, from Brown University just before Christmas to Utah Valley University, where political activist Charlie Kirk was murdered. He was there organizing young voters around Christian conservative values. The students who saw what happened will never be the same.
My name is Anne-Marie Hochhalter, and I graduated in the class of 2000 from Columbine High School.
Anne-Marie Hochhalter survived the mass shooting at Columbine, but 26 years later, it caught up with her. She died from injuries related to the shooting that left her paralyzed. She was only 43.
Leave this area immediately.
It's hard to fathom just how much life does come after a tragedy. John Cleary was shot on the campus of Kent State University, a moment captured in a Life magazine photo. But he ended up finishing his degree in architecture. He lived another 55 years. We lost others in architecture, too. David Childs designed the Freedom Tower in the wake of 9/11.
And that curve leads you into here.
We lost Frank Gehry, perhaps the most recognizable American architect since Frank Lloyd Wright. And then there was Giorgio Armani, an architect of fashion, who turned red carpet events into press conferences. Who was wearing him got a lot of coverage. So many of those who asked the questions, trying to get answers about all kinds of things, left us this year. Like our colleague Mark Knoller. With his booming voice and a treasure trove of presidential trivia, he gave CBS's White House coverage a real spark.
Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
Morris Banks, a cameraman who was equally intimidating in stature. He traveled the world for CBS to bring us stories of people and events. The same was true of our Sunday morning colleague, Jim McLaughlin, and so many, many more.
People will always listen and want to hear stories told by human voices.
Human voices, sometimes shouting in the wilderness, can do remarkably good things, even if those voices are voicing pain.
And I won't stop fighting. I will never be silenced.
Virginia Giuffre was the first of Jeffrey Epstein's victims to go public. Soon other survivors joined her. They began speaking with one voice, shining lights in the dark.
The buck stops when every single monster gets held accountable and our children are safe. And we need everyone's help.
She was just 41.
I'd like to be remembered then for helping the chimps rather than making scientific discoveries about them.
Conservationist Jane Goodall raised her voice from the jungles of East Africa, where her work with chimpanzees made us look at ourselves and our relationship with the animal kingdom in a different and special way.
We're not quite as different from the rest of the animal kingdom as we used to think.
What is it, Lassie?
In fact, animals can seem every bit as human as we are. June Lockhart played Lassie's mom, among other things. She seemed always as intuitive as Lassie herself.
What's the matter, girl? Aren't you hungry?
That golden era of TV started the career of Rob Reiner, too.
This isn't the dingbat, it's me, the meathead.
And while he was a good actor, it was directing where he really made his mark.
Why are you getting so upset? This is not about you.
Yes, it is. You are a human affront to all women, and I am a woman.
Hey, I don't feel great about this, but I don't hear anyone complaining.
Is the Billy Crystal character in that movie any part of you at all?
It's totally me.
Totally you.
It's totally me. 100% me. Making a complete and utter mess of my dating life, trying to figure all these things out, I then thought this is a great idea for a movie.
Do you think I'm weird?
Definitely.
No, man, seriously.
Name some of your favorite movies, and chances are Rob Reiner directed them.
One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top
number and make that a little louder.
These go to 11.
From comedy to drama.
You can't handle the truth!
He had his finger on our pulse the way few people did.
Grandpa? Maybe you could come over and read it again to me tomorrow.
As you wish.
Rob Reiner and his wife Michelle left us far too soon.
You know what I think the most important thing in life is? It's love. You want to know what I love?
Beer, Norm?
Yeah, have a quick one.
Another familiar face was George Wendt. As Norm on Cheers, there's no wonder everybody knew his name.
Well, Sammy, I love that stool. If there's a heaven, I don't want to go there unless my stool is waiting for me. And I'll tell you what, even God better not be on it.
Wendt was 76. We also lost David Ketchum from Get Smart.
Said you 86.
Is this the shirt I paid $30 for?
And Malcolm Jamal Warner from The Cosby Show. It is hard, isn't it, to think of any of them getting any older? Take TV's Dennis the Menace. Child actor Jane Orth couldn't stay young forever, though.
Mom, how come you always say thank goodness instead of good night?
He was 73 when he died at his home in Florida.
Dr. Kildare.
And then there was actor Richard Chamberlain, who played the young intern in Dr. Kildare. He went on to star in blockbuster TV miniseries like Shogun and The Thornbirds.
There's so much else out there. So many other lives you might choose.
Both those novels hit the bestseller list. But so did The Confessions of a Shopaholic series. Those were authored by Madeline Wickham, who wrote under the pen name Sophie Kinsella.
And you're hoping that people will enjoy your book, but you don't know, and off it goes. Mm. But then you meet somebody who says, well, you know what, I read your book in the middle of the night when I was recovering from an operation and it got me through. I mean, how could you do anything better in life than that?
The British author died of brain cancer at just 55. Few British playwrights have been compared to Shakespeare, but Tom Stoppard was.
It seemed to me that having a play on at the National Theatre, for example, was some kind of Everest which only a chosen few could ever even hope to aspire to. It turns out to be something which can happen to people like me.
He was 88 when he slipped this mortal coil.
Ma'am!
What?
Kiss my grits!
For all the creative writers and performers that we did lose this year, we were really struck by the sheer number of TV personalities who passed away.
It's probably going to be a long meeting, though, so why don't you get coffee for all the guys here?
I don't get coffee, Mr. Carlson. We agree. You have to draw the line somewhere.
Get back in your stall.
Hello, dear.
Just going to,
Then how come you got a C in spelling?
Because that dumb teacher misspelled A.
Bye-bye, Cassius. Thank you all for escorting me to the Playhouse door.
Bye, Miss Yvonne.
Because I'm not just Major Margaret Houlihan, Army nurse. I'm also Margaret Houlihan, frail, vulnerable, sensitive female. And if you touch one nurse while I'm gone, I'll cut your hands off.
Portrayals of those in our nation's uniform rarely got better than MASH, or later, Top Gun. Few could top Tom Cruise as a cocky naval aviator, but Val Kilmer did.
You can be my wingman anytime.
He played so many other roles, from Jim Morrison of The Doors to Doc Holliday in Tombstone.
We started a game we never got to finish.
I like characters. I think that's what people have enjoyed most in my acting.
But it was Iceman that stuck with all of us, right till the very end.
Who's the better pilot, you or me?
This is a nice moment. Let's not ruin it.
Val Kilmer was 65. Airmen who saw real combat in World War II are few and far between these days. Like John Lucky Luckadoo. They called him that because he survived so much. And he continued to. he made it to 103. Joe Harris lived to 108, one of the oldest World War II paratroopers. George Hardy earned his wings at just 19, making him one of the youngest Tuskegee Airmen. Jesse Mahaffey survived the attack on Pearl Harbor and the sinking of another ship just a year later. He was 102. Donald McPherson distinguished himself as an ace in the skies above Okinawa. And Julia Parsons, one of the last Enigma codebreakers, left us two this year. Some, however, never came home, but Vietnam POW Lieutenant Colonel Robert Sturm finally did. The Pulitzer Prize-winning picture said it all. His family seeing his face for the first time in almost 6 years.
That face, that wonderful face.
Words never match those feelings, but lyricist Alan Bergman's words got pretty close.
Those words have to sit on those notes just right, so, mm-hmm. you know, so that they sing.
He and his wife, co-writer Marilyn Bergman, are perhaps best known for their classic, The Way We Were.
What time is it, Dorothy?
It's 20 after 5. Oh.
So many couples we remember The Way They Were, like Dorothy Vogel and her late husband, Herb. On modest means, upstairs in their rent-controlled apartment, they amassed an art collection worth millions.
If you like art and you can afford it, you can buy it. You don't have to be wealthy.
True to their modesty, before their deaths, they gave most of it away.
I'll give a little bit. I'll give a little bit of my life for you.
What Rick Davies gave away was his artistry behind the Wurlitzer electric piano. He gave the supergroup Supertramp its signature chart-topping sound.
Goodbye, stranger. It's been night.
He was 81. We lost the space ace, Ace Frehley, of the heavy metal group Kiss this year, too. He made fans believe his playing made his guitar smoke. And maybe it did.
All aboard!
And then there was Ozzy Osbourne, the lead singer of Black Sabbath and self-described Prince of Darkness.
Oh, come on, Sharon. I'm f***ing Ozzy Osbourne, the Prince of f***ing Darkness. What f***ing evil about a bottle of f***ing bubbles?
His wife, Sharon Osbourne, stayed with him through thick and thin.
What do you think the secret is? You guys have been through so much.
I don't know. It's, you know, I'm in the rock and roll business. You rock and you roll, you know. You just get on with it.
Those musicians who have just gone with it still left us their talents. And that makes us feel so good.
Nights in white satin, never reaching the end.
I sit and watch as tears go by.
So happy together.
Happy together just might describe what most people were feeling when they were in the company of the legendary Diane Keaton.
La-di-da, la-di-da, la-la, yeah.
Some called her quirky, even kooky.
I love it.
But everyone agreed that she was talented beyond measure.
What as? Huh? What as?
What do you mean, what as?
What as? Your girlfriend?
What does that mean?
What as? Your girlfriend, your mistress, your paramour, your concubine?
Always holding her own with the best of them.
I really like you.
I really like you.
Yeah, but I love you like you. I do. I love you.
I think that one of the reasons I've been able to be around for as long as I have is because I have been in funny movies.
Seems like old time.
She left her mark not only as an actor, but with her fashion sense too.
Seems like old time.
Diane Keaton was certainly unique, as most of those we remember are. there are far too many to name. But for their talents, their passions, their love and care, their influence, we are forever grateful. To all of them, we bid a very fond hail and farewell.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Please join us when our trumpet sounds again next Sunday morning.
Houston, get ready to feel the power. In January 2026, Love Houston Volleyball is back and turning up the heat, featuring two-time Olympic medalists Jordan Thompson and Micah Hancock. Big serves, fearless rallies, and a hometown crowd that brings serious energy. This is a new H-Town night out. Bring the noise and don't miss a single moment. Tickets start under $15. Visit lovbhtx.com/iHeart.
Can you believe it's finally Christmas? We waited forever to sing this song.
The Paw Patrol is on a roll to the North Pole.
Yay!
Until it all goes downhill.
Christmas is mine!
Oh no! Santa needs our help!
Can these paws save Santa Claus?
We're not gonna let Santa down on our watch.
Find out in the brand new special, A Paw Patrol Christmas. Now streaming on Paramount+.